The coronavirus pandemic is pushing VR into homes at long last, but headset shortages might make the industry miss the moment. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. About a month ago, when lots of people started working from home, I said I was surprised virtual reality hadn't become a bigger part of our work lives and our lives in general. Oh, how the times have changed.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Oh, wait, there was a guy right there.
That is the sound of my son dodging bad guys in the living room on our new Oculus Quest, which, along with most other VR headsets, are actually sold out these days. A combination of the need for entertainment at home and the release of a buzzy new game called Half-Life Alyx that can only be played in VR. Let's dig into this in Quality Assurance, where we take a second look at a big tech story. Addy Robertson is a senior reporter with The Verge who follows virtual reality.
After Christmas, there weren't really many Oculus Quests. Everybody was kind of waiting for them to come back into stock. The same was true for other headsets like the Index. And then the coronavirus hit right as they were supposed to be making a new wave of them. Mm-hmm. So they've gotten smaller shipments. But at the very moment when a bunch of people wanted to buy a VR headset, they just had not recovered and had not started selling them. And so now they're, in a situation where lots of people are trying to buy them, both because of the coronavirus and because Half-Life Alyx came out, and it's been really tough.
Right. I bought one, which I never thought I would do. I've seen a lot of people online talking about Half-Life Alyx and then just consuming other VR content. Do you have a sense that there is this kind of uptick in people actually wanting to buy these?
I think it's really difficult to tell, but I do think that Half-Life Alyx was a point where a lot of people who had not really thought that much about VR considered getting one. Mm-hmm. Anecdotally, there is a lot of demand that there wasn't before.
If anecdotally there's all this demand, finally, but people can't get headsets, was this the moment for VR to capitalize and instead they're going to miss the boat?
I think this is kind of weird in the same way that a lot of coronavirus recovery stories are weird, mm-hmm. in that it's possible that these headset supplies recover and that at some point everybody can play Alyx and a bunch of people swarm on it and it gets a boost. And what it lost at launch, it kind of gains in word of mouth and everybody finally gets this thing and it's great. There's also a world where, just kind of it loses this big opportunity it had for a bump. And it's just not able to capitalize on this fantastic opportunity it has.
Right. Remind us again, who are the big headset players? Like, what are the devices that people are trying to buy right now and can't?
So there's basically three categories of headset and a few different brands inside them. The one we've been largely talking about is PC-based VR headsets, which are the ones you can play Half-Life Alyx on. And those are made by HTC and Oculus, which is owned by Facebook, and Valve, which made Half-Life Alyx. And they all have headsets at sort of varying price points. Then there's the standalone Oculus Quest, which was very popular, relatively speaking, in 2019, and seemed like it had a pretty good chance of breaking through, even without everyone playing Alyx on it. You can sort of connect it to a PC, but it's really just meant to be a generalist headset. And then you have PlayStation VR, which consistently seems to sell pretty well and to have pretty good games that people like, despite not being as buzzy as it was at the beginning.
Now we seem to be at a moment when, you know, for example, a lot of people would love to be using this for homeschooling. If this shutdown lasts a long time, or there are rolling shutdowns, or there is a reluctance for people to go back to work in school, long term, do you think that this is something that companies could capitalize on, whether software companies or headset makers?
I think there's definitely a space to expand a lot of the places where VR was already being used in the workplace. Like, it's already a very useful tool for running simulations and for doing certain kinds of research and visualization. I think there's a chance that that could expand. I'm still fairly ambivalent about its use as either, say, a replacement for something like Zoom, or as even a virtual teaching tool. It's still pretty hard to get these headsets. They're still pretty expensive. We're now figuring out that there are a bunch of kids who don't even have access to good internet and can't find a decent laptop. And so I think that we should be really careful about promoting the idea of VR headsets, which are even more inaccessible and difficult to use, as a solution for homeschooling.
Addie Robertson covers virtual reality for The Verge. And now for some related links. In case you're wondering, most VR headsets are still sold out. As an example of how fast things are going, GameSpot put up a story in the morning on Tuesday saying the Oculus Quest was back in stock. By afternoon, an update on the page said it was already sold out again. And there's a link on our website to a piece about the renewed promise and potential of VR in the workplace from just last week. That was the question we were asking about a month ago. Seems that conversation is coming back around. And speaking of Facebook-owned Oculus, the company just announced Thursday that it's moving its virtual reality conference, called Oculus Connect, to an all-virtual format. The event didn't have a specific date set, but last year it was held in late September. I would imagine that Facebook will be hard at work on something it actually announced at that event last year, Facebook Horizon, a social network in VR that, according to early testers, is like the most sanitized, most Nintendo-looking, rudimentary version of the metaverse from Ready Player One. But honestly, I bet my kid would be hanging out there if it were available now. Here comes the revolution, I guess. And here's what else we're watching in tech. It's kind of on a related note. After watching everyone rush to Zoom, then start to hate Zoom, then look for alternatives to Zoom, Verizon has bought itself a Zoom competitor. Perhaps sensing a potential long-term trend in our work habits, the telecom giant bought BlueJeans Network, and reportedly for pretty cheap, less than around $500 million. Now, according to the Wall Street Journal, the two companies had actually been in talks since last year. But you got to admit, that's a well-timed move. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Jesus Alvarado is our assistant producer. Jody Becker is our senior editor. Robin Edgar is our engineer. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. Have a nice, safe weekend, everybody. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.